If you're ready for your title, our title of the message today is, I Need Oil, and this is part two. Again, you can go back and visit part one, but this will be a standalone message that'll build on the message from last week. Here's the key passage of scripture that we're talking about from last week. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Here we go. In the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Remember, this is a parable, a story that has a meaning, and it's important that you understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. This story tells us what it's like. Verse 2, now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps with no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept at midnight. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready with him went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, I'm not going to go into everything that I went into last week. I want to give you a quick recap of some of the things that we talked about last week that'll set a foundation for where we're going today. A recap, a recapitulation of last week. Here we go. Here's a few things. First of all, throughout the Bible, oil is used as a type and a physical representation of the Holy Spirit and His anointing. So wherever you see oil, you can think about the Holy Spirit. Wherever you see oil, you can think about the representation of the anointing of God. Here's the next thing. Oil does not burn forever. It'll burn for a certain amount of time, and then it's consumed. Not like that burning bush that was not consumed, and it was a spectacle. Oil will run out eventually. Here's the next thing. Oil lamps from this time period, they would burn for about 4 or 5 hours before they would run out of oil. It just had a little vessel there, and it had a wick coming out of it. And as it would burn, it would consume the oil that was in the vase. Then you would need to refill it. Here's the interesting thing. The first refill of oil often took place right about midnight, because that's about the 4 or 5 hour mark after 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And so 4 or 5 hours later, you need to refill it. But that first refill would get you through the darkest parts of the night until you're getting pretty close to sunrise. You know, the bare minimum doesn't work. It doesn't work well, especially when we don't know exactly how much we'll need. And you know, at the end of that parable, Jesus said, you don't know the day and you don't know the hour. So we don't know how much we're going to need. We just better have more than enough. I want to talk to you about that today, how you can have more than enough, and it's going to take getting a refill. Amen. By the way, here's a place where that old idiom, better to have it and not need it, really comes into play, right? There's no such thing as having too much anointing. There's no such thing as having too much oil in your lamp. There's no such thing as having too much oil. Can you imagine if those 5 wise virgins had like 5 camels worth of oil with them instead of just a little extra jug? And they were worried. They said, no, we can't give you any because maybe we'll run out for ourselves. Can you imagine if they had a never-ending, inexhaustible oil pipeline that they could have had not only enough for them to make it and not just barely make it, but to thrive in the process and to give those that were foolish as well? Instead, they had to send the other people out to go and buy some. Look, if they had been able to dispense it right there and then, even the foolish ones would have been able to make it into the feast. Isn't that interesting? I think that the wise ones could have done a little bit better just by having enough for not only themselves, but for other people as well. I want that I would be a well of anointing springing up unto everlasting life, that my well would not just be a well, but that it would turn into a river so that it can be not enough just for me, but for everybody else. I think this is a picture of the kingdom of God. You know, as the days get darker, and they're absolutely going to get darker, the Bible tells us that we're going to have wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilences and all those things that are going on already. Days are going to get darker. We're going to need to know where we can get a refill and how to keep our lamps full of oil. Today, that's what I want to talk to you about, is how to get refilled. You see, you and I need to get refilled. We have to have it, because otherwise, at the darkest time of night, if the parable holds true, and I think it will, at the darkest time, we're going to run out of fuel and not be able to make it through the darkest hour. I want to be able to make it through the darkest hour. I was just talking with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about that and how things will get darker and everything. I said, yeah, but you know what? The good news is that in the darkness, you've got a lamp. And for you, it's not dark. For everybody else, it's dark. But for you, you're being able to see just fine. And you know what else? The Bible says that the nations will be drawn to the brightness of your coming. In other words, you're going to have light when no one else has light. And so they're going to come around saying, show us how to do this thing. Show us how to make it through. We're scared of the dark, but you've got the light. You've got to have the light, not just for you, but for everybody else around you as well. The motto of the college I graduated from was this: not unto ourselves are we born. I think that's a great motto, that I'm not here just living for myself, but I'm living for other people. And I'm going to do the best that I can so other people around me can be blessed. It's not just about me. I know that's a hard one. It's not just about you. It's about you getting so full and so strong that you can be a blessing to other people and not even take a hit in your own personal life. Let's talk a little bit how to get refilled today. You know, a phrase that I heard when my life first got turned around in 1998. By the way, I want to just give honor to somebody who's here today with us in this very room as we're recording. Actually, not recording. We're broadcasting live. And Pastor Sam Webb, who is the pastor in the church that I was growing up in, he started pastoring there in 1967. And I was born in 1976. So he was already like a full-blown awesome pastor when I was born. And so I was raised up under his ministry, and thank God for the things that he placed into my life. And what an honor to be able to preach. And he's over here sitting here saying amen and all this stuff. I am absolutely humbled, and I hope that I will continue to serve the Lord for so many years as he's setting that example and that pace. I'm going to have to run fast to try to keep up, because he's way ahead of me. But in 1998, my life was completely and totally changed. I was living for the devil, and the devil was sad when he lost me that day, because I was a good devil worshiper. I'm telling you, he was sad. But something that I heard during that series of meetings that radically changed my life was by a minister by the name of Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. And this is what he said. He said this: you've got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. I guess you could call it the holy spigot. Right? You got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. In other words, you've got to know where you can get refilled. See, the foolish virgins were sent by the wise virgins to go and buy oil, but they needed to know where they could. They needed to know where the vendor was. They needed to know where they could go and purchase that stuff. Otherwise, they'd just be going around in the street. Anybody have oil? Anybody have oil? But they needed to know where to go. You've got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 in the New King James Version of the Bible says this: but to those that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. You know, my friend, if you're a Christian and if you've been fainting, if you've been petering out, if you've been weak, if you've been dying, I want to tell you that this is one of the best troubleshooting scriptures that you'll ever find for your Christian life. If I'm weak, if I'm feeling faint, if I'm dying, if I'm slowing down, if I'm petering out, here's the thing. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. By the way, that word wait in many ways doesn't just mean sitting and twiddling your thumbs. You know, if you don't know this, this is the old-fashioned fidget spinner right here. And you can just sit there and you could twiddle your thumbs all that you want to. But that's not what this scripture is talking about. It's talking about waiting on the Lord like a waiter waits on the table. That you're serving God, that in the process, you're expending energy. Why would God need to renew your energy if you're not expending any energy? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, here's the thing. This is an interesting passage because you can troubleshoot your life real easy. Like, well, I'm serving Pastor Jake and I'm still burned out. Here's the question. Are you serving the Lord or are you serving your church? Your organization, your pastor, your this, your that. Are you serving mechanically and are you doing that or are you serving the Lord? Yeah. See, doing things for Jesus and doing things with Jesus are totally different. I've seen people all throughout my life do things for Jesus. And at the end of the road, they end up in bitterness and they end up worn out and they feel like Jesus has taken their life from them. They feel lesser for it, but that is not what Jesus came for. If you look in the Gospel of John, he says, I came to give you life and to give it to the full. That means that you should never run empty, that as you continue to pour out, that he continues to pour in. See, that's the difference between doing things for him and doing things with him. I know some of you might think that I'm a little bit crazy. I've been a pastor now for about 20 years and I haven't had a sabbatical. You know, I don't know. Some people are like, oh my goodness, I've never needed a sabbatical. I just feel refreshed because I'm not doing things for him. I'm doing things with him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm saving up my vacation so that I can tour all around the United States with my family because I want to, not because I'm burned out. You see, there's a difference there in taking a break because you're burnt out and taking a break because you want to. And so I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to have the vacation of my life when we have that opportunity to do that. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You can renew your strength. You can get a refill. That's what it's talking about. You can get refilled when you wait upon the Lord. Amen. I've got to be really specific about something here right now. I want to tell you that there is no anointing outside of a deep, personal, and authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm not that smart to come up with that all by myself. I know my sister said that I preach deep things. I don't know if I preach deep things. I just preach the word. That's what the Bible tells me to do. So I'm preaching the word, but listen. Dr. Mark Barclay is the one who said this phrase, there is no anointing outside of a deep, personal, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people that look like they got the Christian t-shirt, you know, every Sunday they got a new Christian t-shirt. They got the perfect look when they're worshiping. You know, the worship leader got the perfect worship leader hairdo with the perfect worship leader ripped jeans and the low V-neck shirt, whatever. And you know what? I'm so glad that Sarah was not wearing that today. Thank you, Sarah, for not wearing a low V-neck shirt. I appreciate that about you. But you know, we can have the look. We can have the perfect angle of our arms and elbows of worship, and it doesn't matter. Because outside of a deep, personal, authentic relationship with Jesus, there is no anointing. You know why? Because Jesus' last name wasn't Christ. His title was Christ. That means the anointed one and his anointing. See, that's where the anointing comes from. It's from Jesus. By the way, a deep, personal, authentic relationship with Jesus is not the same as necessarily attending church. My dad said this for many, many years, so I'll repeat it. He said this, you know, I worked at a chicken farm. I worked in an egg factory or whatever. I forget. I'm going to mess it up. Sorry, Pops. But he was like, I worked in a chicken farm for many, many years. And you know what? I never turned into a chicken. Do you know that you could attend a wedding every day of your life and never get married? Because attendance is not the same thing as being changed. You see, to get married, you've got to step up onto the altar and you've got to utter the phrase, I do. Otherwise, you don't. See? And when we get into that place with Jesus, we've got to say, I do. And I will. And I'm going to keep on. You know, it's that thing that we've just got to do it personally. No one can live your life with Jesus Christ for you. It must be authentic. Parents, your kids are going to need to live their life with Jesus authentically. The best thing that I think that parents can do for their kids is to fall in love with Jesus beyond anything else. More than their job, more than their spouse, more than their car, more than their hobbies, that we would have an encounter with Jesus. You see, when you have an encounter with Jesus, your kids are going to be like, oh my gosh, my mom, my dad just had an encounter with Jesus and they're completely different. Holy smokes, I love it when my parents have an encounter with God. Have an encounter with God. Don't teach them the rules and regulate. Teach them how to have an encounter with God. Amen. We've got to do all those things. Yes, if you love me, obey my commands. Yes, that's true. But we've got to have an encounter first. You know why? Because then we'll do all those commandments out of a want to, not out of a have to. You got to go back to last week's sermon and find out all about that. By the way, I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures today because I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear Jesus. See, a deep, personal, authentic relationship with Jesus is not the same as attending church, although you should attend church, even with a deep, personal, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for listen, they shall be filled." If you get so hungry for it, you're going to get filled. You know what I was hungry for yesterday? I was hungry for a Popeye's chicken sandwich. And you know what happened? I got filled. I got filled. You know why? Because I went to Popeye's because I was hungry for a Popeye's chicken sandwich. This is not an advertisement, but I must be hungry. I should eat breakfast before I preach. That's what should happen. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. You know how that feeling is when you're hungry and you're just rifling around the house. You're looking in the kitchen. You're looking in the refrigerator. You've been to the refrigerator 6 times already in your sweatpants on quarantine, but you've looked in there and nothing's changed because you haven't gone shopping, but you're still hungry and you're looking. See, when you're hungry, you'll knock and keep on knocking. You'll ask and keep on asking. You'll seek and you'll keep on seeking. And then you know what? You're going to find, because blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled. Look, Psalm chapter 103, verse 5 says this, who satisfies, say satisfied.
Satisfied.
Man, I like being satisfied. You know, I don't like eating salads for dinner because then I'm not satisfied. It's like, yeah, I ate something and I'm full because fiber fills you up and all of that, but like I'm still not satisfied. I want to be satisfied. I know I needed more avocado. I needed more healthy fats, you know. I needed more olive oil. I needed more almonds. And see, we got some health people in the room right now, and they're like, amen, amen, you know. Hallelujah. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Jesus wants to satisfy you. Oh, let me ask you this question, and it's a rhetorical question. Of course, you're probably looking at your smartphone or your TV or whatever. So if you want to talk to your TV and whatever, and there's no one else there to hear you, you don't have to answer it rhetorically. You can answer it out loud. Let me ask you the question. Are you satisfied in your relationship with Jesus? If you're not, I can guarantee you this one thing. The shortcoming is not on Jesus' end.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. He wants to renew your strength like the eagle. And if you're not being there, then something's missing. You know, if you flip the light switch and the light don't come on, there's a problem. Yeah. And you got to troubleshoot that problem. Either the light bulbs burn out, or the wirings burn out, or your circuit breakers popped or something. There's a reason why it ain't working. If you're not satisfied in your relationship with Jesus, I want to challenge you to troubleshoot that relationship, because the trouble is not on Jesus's end. It's always on our end. The issue of dissatisfaction is not on Jesus' end. I want to give you a pro tip. You ready? Here's the pro tip. Here's how you get satisfied. When we want exactly what he gives us, we'll always be satisfied. Amen. Well, Pastor Jake, I don't like what God gives me. That's your problem. See, when you want what he gives you, it's perfect. You know, it's like that surprise mystery gift that you got at Christmas or whatever, and you open it, and you didn't even know that you wanted that until you opened it, and you're like, that's exactly what I wanted. I didn't even know that I wanted it until I saw it. Now I know that I want it. See, the Bible tells us that the Bible tells us that Jesus will give us the desires of our heart. You know what that means? It means he'll actually give us, he'll put inside of us the things that we desire. It's not that he's going to give you whatever you want. People misinterpret that scripture so badly. It's not that he's your sugar daddy and he just gives you whatever you want. No way. That's not how it works. We give him whatever he wants because he's Lord. We're not Lord. But he'll actually put desires on the inside of you. If you'll yield to those desires, he'll give you what you want and you'll always be satisfied. You know, too many people, I think, tolerate the boredom of righteousness, as they call it, but find excitement in sinfulness. Oh, that's a problem, isn't it? Because we're supposed to love righteousness. But some people tolerate the boredom of righteousness. It's like, I don't want to go to church. It's so boring. I don't want to do the Jesus thing. I don't want to live right. It's so boring. Look at all these people that are living riotously. Oh, it's so much fun. We need to change our heart. Can you say amen? Amen? The Bible says this in Psalm 37:4. It says, delight yourself. In other words, you delight yourself. Make a decision to delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. See, when we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. You know, my wife and I, thank God, we've been married for 19 and a little bit years now, almost 19 and a half years. And, you know, she's had to change a lot of things. I didn't have to change anything, you know. I'm just kidding. Okay, take it easy. I'm just kidding. And, right, Pastor Webb says, there are no liars in heaven. We know where liars go, so I'm not going to do that. I'm just playing around. In the almost 19 and a half years of being married, you know, I've had so many opportunities and I've done it wrong so many times that I started to get irritated with her. That I started to notice all of the things that I didn't like. I noticed the things that would irritate me and the things that I wish that she would do differently. And I would think to myself, Lord, help her. She needs to change. You know, and you get so familiar with those things that are just irritating. And you just know that when you bought this thing, that it was going to be moved and you'll never find it again because she rearranges the house. You know what I'm talking about? And you're already irritated just thinking about it. And I needed to fix that because that's not how I wanted to live the rest of my life with my wife. You know, if you're in that kind of a relationship with your spouse, can I tell you how to fix that? It's in the Bible. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:8, and it's not on your notes or anything like that. It tells us about these things that the Bible calls like whatsoever things. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are right. All of those things, the Bible says, think on these things. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. See, when we get our eyes on the things that we don't like, that's where our attitude goes. But when we start to think on the things, whatsoever things, see, you got to get those whatsoever things in your heart. Oh, I can't find the thing that I put, but thank God that my wife likes to clean up the house. You know, I mean, thank God that she loves me. She would go to the nth degree for me. She went to Home Depot 3 times for me yesterday. I'm not even exaggerating. She went to Home Depot 3 times yesterday for me as I was trying to unclog a drain for 12 hours. It's not because I'm an idiot. It's because it's really plugged. I mean, it is plugged. She'll go so far for me. And you know, I think that sometimes when people get into their relationship with God, it's like they look at, can you imagine God actually having any faults, which he doesn't? But we find fault in him, don't we? I wish that God would just let me. I wish that God wouldn't do it this way. I wish that he would just, whatsoever things, my friend. You want to find happiness in any relationship on this earth or above? You got to think on these things. Whatsoever things are good and lovely and pure, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise. My friend, if you're having struggles with your spouse or with your children or whatever, start thinking about the whatsoever things and you'll start to tend upwards. Amen. Just put the other things on ignore and let those whatsoever things swamp your attitude, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. Yeah. And I promise you, your house is going to be a happier place. Amen. All right, enough of that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, it says this: you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. You want to know how to get a refill from heaven? Love righteousness, hate lawlessness. Love righteousness, hate sin. How do I do that? Because I really like sin. And don't even tell me that you don't like sin. Because sin is pleasurable. That's why it's attractive. If sin in our life was like getting punched in the face, we wouldn't do it. If it was like eating kale, we wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? If you know what I'm saying, say kale, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't pleasurable, we wouldn't do it. There is a pleasure of sin, but at the end of it, it's bitter and it causes us to die. We've got to love righteousness and hate iniquity. And that's how you get anointed with fresh oil. You want a refill? Start loving righteousness like never before. James chapter 4 and verse 17 in the New American Standard Version of the Bible says this. It tells us what sin is, because I know we don't like sin. It's a three-letter word, but Christians and other people think of it like a four-letter word. And we don't like to talk about sin, but here's what sin is. It says this: therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him, it's sin. See, nobody else can really define that for me. If I know to do right, but I don't do it, then it's sin to me. If I didn't know that it was wrong, then it was just something that I did out of ignorance. And the Bible says that God kind of winks at that, like, yeah, look at this kid. He didn't even know what he's doing. But when we know and we still don't do it, then that's when it becomes sin to us. Listen, this is so good. Repentance brings refill. Repentance brings refill. You know, when we harden our heart and we're like, oh, I don't need to ask God for forgiveness for that. By the way, repentance is not, oh, sorry, yeah. You know, for you local people out there, this is local pigeon. Sorry, yeah. Okay. That is not an apology. That is not a repentance. That's like, I'm sorry that you were irritated, so get over it. That's what that means. Repentance is turning around. It's a change of direction. If I was going this way and I was irritating you and I was doing all these things, repentance is saying, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to turn 180 degrees this way and I'm going to walk away from that thing that I was doing. Man, it's so important that we get repentance into our heart. Listen, here's why. Repentance brings refill. Listen, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says this: repent, therefore. That means turn around. Walk the other way for that reason and be changed, that your sins might be blotted out, so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Man, that is so good. You can just feel it right there. Just times of refreshing, times of refill will come in the presence of the Lord. Man, we've got to turn from our ways. We've got to turn from our ways. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Jake? What other way is there? There's his ways. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, but we got to turn from our ways to his ways. And when we turn to his ways and we repent from our ways, refill comes, refreshing comes, and we'll get filled again. You know, one of the scariest things that I think I hear Christians say is, oh, you know what? I don't feel like that's wrong. I'm at peace with it. When it's blatantly against the word of God. When it's blatantly, again, they know better than that. When the Bible says to tithe and we preach on tithe and all that stuff, and it's like, well, I just feel at peace about not tithing. My friend, that's not peace. That's a seared conscience. That's the inability to feel anymore. And we need to repent from that way, from our way to his way, because he says to do it. So if we don't do it, we're doing it our way, but we need to do it his way and change. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Pastor Jake, I don't like the way that you're talking. That's all right. Just whatsoever thing it. Just like, I don't like what he's saying, but I really do like that watermelon shirt that he's wearing. Just whatsoever thing that, you know, and just get over it. It's what the Bible says. We need to repent and refilling will come. You know, one of my famous phrases, and some people will just chuckle at this, people tell me, well, I'm just okay with it. I feel at peace about that. And so I'm just going to keep on doing that. One of the things I like to say sometimes when we get to a certain point is, so how's that working for you? You know, I know that's what you're doing, but like, how's that working for you? Because if you're okay with that, but you're empty, how's that working for you? If you're okay doing it opposite to God's way and your marriage is ruined and your children are hating you and you're not happy and you're not blessed, and how's that working for you? My friend, I want to call you. See, I'm not calling you to change because I don't like what you're doing. No, I'm calling you to change because I know that Jesus wants to fill your life to the full with full of abundance. He wants you to be refilled. He doesn't want you to be empty. And I'm calling you back so that you can be filled again. What it takes is repentance and a change from where we were and what direction we were going to his direction. Sometimes you just got to ask yourself, so how's that working for you, Jake? Yeah. How's that working for you, fill in the blank with your name? Because if it ain't working, maybe it's broke and you better fix it. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. You guys still love me because I love you. Yes. Maybe you're gnashing your teeth at me right now, but I can't see you, so I'm happy. Point number two, how can you get a refill? Here's how we've got to do it. We've got to run empty to need a refill. You can't get a refill when you're full. Listen, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 2 through 6, this is not a parable. This is an actual account of something that happened. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" This, by the way, was a widow woman who had nothing. She had all she had was a little vase of oil, a little cruse of oil. That's all she had. But Elisha said, "What shall I do for you?" And he said, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She's like, "Well, I don't have much." She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels." Now pause right there. You might not have a lot. You might not have very much at all. You might have nothing except, you know, the man of God said, "That's enough." God doesn't want what you don't have. He only wants what you do have. Yeah. And that's enough. Yeah. You might not have a lot, but it's enough if you'll put it into the hands of the anointing. Listen. Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere." You're going to want to highlight a bunch of this stuff. Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Listen to that. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you'll shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." Listen to this. So the oil ceased. I want you to focus on a couple of things. First of all, it says in verse 4, pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. My friend, if you're a Christian and maybe you're full, you've been sitting around not doing too much, you've been full, God says, set you on the side. And you wonder why sometimes your pastor might spend time with this person or that person or with these folks or with this group or whatever. Maybe it's because they're empty and maybe you're full and you need to be set on the side for a little while. I'm going to get to how you can empty yourself so you can spend time with the people you want to. Listen. Then it says this, there was not another empty vessel, so the oil ceased. You know, if this woman could have lived forever, and if she had an inexhaustible supply of empty vessels, I think that vase would still be pouring today. Yeah. There was no end to that. There's no end to the anointing. God is not going to run out of anointing for you. There is no such thing as running out of anointing. It's just running out of space. Yeah. It's running out of empty. It's running out of vessels that need to be filled. Here's the principle. God cannot fill what's already full. God cannot fill what's already full. You know this from going to the gas station, right? You know when you're trying to get that last little bit into your gas tank, but it's already full and all it does is click, click, click. And it doesn't even matter what's in that gas tank. I mean, it could be a diesel truck and you're trying to put gasoline in it, which you shouldn't do. But all it is click, click, click. You can't put anything in there. You know what it's like when you want to have more ice cream. But like I was sharing last week, your ramekin's only this big and it's already full. And you can't put no more inside of there. It's already full. You know that you can't put any more in there. You see? But the thing is that sometimes our lives are not necessarily full of Him. Sometimes our lives are full of relationships. Sometimes they're full of our aspirations, our dreams. Sometimes they're full of our desires. Sometimes they're full of self-promotion. Sometimes they're full of activities. Sometimes they're just full of scheduling. But it's not full of Him. It doesn't matter what you're full with. God can't fill what's already full. We've got to let Him fill us. Amen. Here's how the Bible says that we can pour out. You ready? Here's how we can pour out. In Matthew 28:19, it is the great commandment of Scripture. The Bible tells us this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When you go, you start getting hungry. I don't know if you've ever been on a long hike. I've been on some long hikes. And when you go, you start getting hungry. In fact, you might even get hangry, if you know what I mean. You get desperate for some food. You want to generate an appetite for God? Start going. Start doing. Do the Great Commission. 2 Timothy 2:2 shows us another way. It says this, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit or give these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. How do you get empty? You take what you've got and you give it away. You take what you got and you give it away. You take what you got and you give it away. Sometimes we've never given anything away. We've just been a collector of the Spirit instead of being a distribution center of the Spirit of God. God doesn't want us to keep it all for ourselves. Salvation, by the way, is not just for you. It is for you, but it's for everybody. And God wants us to go and to give. To go and to give. If you start doing that in your life, this is what's going to happen. You're going to run empty. And you're going to need a refill. But you know what? When God sees you going and giving, you're going to get a refill from heaven. Here's the principle. The oil stopped when there were no more empty vessels. Here's why we preach the gospel and why we invite people to meet Jesus all the time. Because this is not a bless me club. It's about finding people that need Jesus so that they are an empty vessel so that we can pour the greatness, the love, the mercy, the anointing of God into them. And you know, when a church starts to be all about only people that have already gone through this salvation experience and no one's getting saved anymore and no one's getting baptized anymore and no fresh people are coming in into the presence of God, that church starts to die. Here's why. Because the oil stops. Because there's no more empty vessels. You can say it this way: the anointing will dry up when we're no longer surrounded by empty vessels. You know, I want to be surrounded by empty vessels. I try to find empty vessels, not a few, and surround myself with them so I constantly have a place where I can pour. I constantly have a place where I can pour. You know what? It's for them so that they can receive, but it's also for me so I can make room, so I can get some more from heaven. Here's my last point for today. I'm almost done. You can empty your life's vessel on purpose. You can choose to, you can design it into your life. You can build it into your life to pour out and to get rid of that stuff that's in there so that you can get full. Maybe you're not full of Jesus. Maybe you're full of all the other things in life. The Bible says that the cares of life began to choke out the gospel. Maybe for you, you're full of so many things. I want to show you a little bit on how you can empty your life's vessel on purpose. In Matthew chapter 9:17, and I'm almost done, I promise you, it says this: nor do they put new wine into old wineskins. I want to pause right there. See, old wineskins would start to get firm. They were made out of usually some kind of an animal skin, some kind of leather bag kind of a thing. And after time, you probably know how it is if you have any leather goods. If you don't condition them and if you don't take care of them, they'll get hard and they'll get brittle and they'll start to crack and they'll not have the flexibility that they had once upon a time. If you don't know what that's like, you can look at the skin on a baby and you can look at the skin on an old person and you can know that it doesn't have the same elasticity that it used to have. Reminds me of a friend of mine that said, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to keep having facelifts until my ears touch in the back. He just wanted to keep tightening that bad boy up, but it's not the same as a baby's skin, you know? Wineskins would get old and they would get brittle. They would have the inability to flex. They would lose their flexibility. They would lose their ability to conform. And this is what the Bible says: nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. In other words, you lose both the contents and the bag. What good is it to put new wine into old wineskins? But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. The Bible says in another scripture, and I don't have it in my sermon today, but it says this: become a new wineskin. We need to become a new wineskin. We need to be flexible. Christian, if you've gotten so rigid that you can't flow with God anymore, that when the new wine that's in the cluster gets squeezed into you, it wants to blow you out instead of you being like, yes, I'm filled. If you rupture and break and everything that's in you, I'm just going to stop serving God already. And all the wine just pours out. You're an old wineskin. I got good news for you. Jesus can turn you into a new wineskin. Here's what we've got to do. We've got to pour out our old rancid ways and in order to receive and to walk in the new. I don't know if you've ever smelled rancid oil. Have you ever smelled rancid oil? If not, do an experiment. Take some oil, like corn oil goes bad really quick. So like get some corn oil and just leave it in a hot place for a while. And you know, take it out every once in a while and put it back, and pretty soon it will go rancid and you won't even have to know what rancid oil is. When you crack that thing open and you smell it, you'll know there's something wrong. Yeah. See, our ways, when they get old, they get rancid. They go bad. Yeah. It doesn't last forever. Oil does not last forever. And if you've ever cooked a dish with rancid oil, you know that the dish is ruined. Yeah. You know, sometimes you can go to various places and there's ministry and it's like everything seems like it's in order, but just something is not right. Sometimes it's that there's rancid oil in the house. We need to have fresh oil and fresh wine. How often do I need that? I don't know. Your car needs a new oil change every 3,000 miles. You've been living 3,000 years and haven't had an oil change. You got to get an oil change in your heart. We need to be fresh in our spirit, amen? But listen, You cannot have the old and the new at the same time. You can't do it. If you've got old in the jar and you try to pour new in there, it's just going to all be ruined. We can't have the old and the new at the same time. We cannot step into the new while still holding on to the old. What are you talking about, Pastor Jake? Look, you can't be in this room and that room at the same time. You're either in this room or that room. You must cross over the threshold into the new space. And that's exactly what God wants us to do, is get rid of the old and step into the new. You cannot hold on to the old and hold on to the new at the same time. We cannot do it. It's not possible. What does that mean? Listen, you cannot step into health while holding on to sickness. Why would I hold on to sickness, Pastor Jake? That's stupid. Well, sometimes we want sympathy more than we want healing. Sometimes we want people to give us get well cards and think about us, because otherwise we think if we're well, people won't reach out to us. So we want sympathy more than we want health. You can't hold on to sickness and have health at the same time. It's one or the other. We cannot step into God's prosperity while holding on to a poverty mindset. Yep. What's a poverty mindset or poverty? Listen, I'm going to be very gentle if I possibly can here. Holding on to maybe poverty benefits. I like all the free stuff, but I want prosperity. Well, I think that God can prosper you enough that you don't need the free stuff. I think God can prosper you enough that you can buy all the stuff and have more than enough. I mean, but you cannot have prosperity and live in a poverty mindset at the same time. You cannot live in prosperity and live in a poverty benefits mentality. I want all the free stuff. Look, we've got to make a choice. We're either in or we're out. We're up or we're down. We're either healed or we're sick. We're either prosperous or we're impoverished. We've got to make a decision, but we cannot have both at the same time. Listen, Amen. You cannot step into God's blessing while holding on to low-level living. Right. Let me say that again. You cannot step into God's blessing while holding on to low-level living. Well, I just want all the anointing, God. I just want all the anointing. I want all the blessings. But we cannot live in a low manner of living. God is not going to give us something that's meant to be a blessing that is actually going to be a curse when we're living low. Can you imagine if our character is low, but God gives us great fame? What happens is that we just blow up. We'll be just like all the other basketball players and football players and movie stars that don't have the character that they needed to be able to support their level of influence and fame. I would rather have a rock solid character and no fame rather than having fame and no character, because some things will destroy you. We can't have all the blessing and low level living at the same time, at least not from heaven, because God cares for you. I want to give you one last scripture and then one last thing, and I'm going to offer you salvation. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to tell you that there's more for you to live in life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this. This is the greatest scripture about how to go from the old to the new, how to empty out our life on purpose. Here it is. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah. How do we become new? How do we empty out the old? Easiest way is to give our old to Jesus and let him give us his new. You see, the Bible says right here, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Who creates that? It's not us. Jesus creates it. It's something that's given. It's not something that we make. It's something that we're given. So when we give up our old, he'll give us anew. And I want to tell you today that you can receive that right here and right now. You can step into the new. I want to give you one thing. Find your fastest way to get empty this week so that you can get a refill from heaven. You and I both need it. You got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. We got to get empty so that we can be full. Today, If you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is an opportunity for you to get something from heaven so that you can empty yourself so that you can be filled by heaven. Can I tell you that heaven's little bit is better than your lots? Yeah. Jesus wants to fill you with the stuff from heaven. Amen. He wants to give you a brand new creation life so that you can get out of the old. Don't put a new wine into an old wineskin. We got to be changed so we can have new wine and new wineskin. I love that the Holy Spirit is compared to wine. You know, you drink enough wine and you're going to get a buzz. I guarantee it. Either that or you can get sick and die if you're alcoholic or you're allergic to alcohol. But you know what? I love that the Holy Spirit is compared to wine. And you know what? He's talking about the new wine today. You can be filled. You can be filled. You can get happy. Just like drunk people seem to be really happy when they're drunk. I mean, you can get happy without the hangover. It's amazing to be in the presence of God. You can just be happy in his presence. Today, if you've never met Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. In the next 30 seconds after we pray, you can find that your life can take on a brand new quality because Jesus will give you and help you to be a brand new creation. Here's how it works. The Bible says, if we're in Christ, we are a new creation. Here's how you get into Christ. The Bible says that all you need to do is believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, he's alive and seated on the right hand of the Father. He's not dead. He's not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He's not in the ground somewhere. He is risen, doing the same things that he's done from the time that he was in the Bible days. Jesus is alive. You believe that God raised him from the dead. The second thing is that you confess with your mouth. That means you say with the mouth on your face that Jesus is the Lord of your life. That's all it takes. Two things, and you can be born again. You can be part of God's family. You can be a new creation, and God wants to pour into you and fill you to overflowing with the best that heaven has to offer. If you'd like to do that today, or maybe you've been living away from him, maybe today you need to repent. You need to come back home to him. You need to turn around from the way that you've been living and come back home. Today is your day, and you can get refilled right now from the heavenly filling station. So I want to pray with you. If you like to come back home to Jesus today and reaffirm that he is the Lord of your life, let's pray. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you want to make him the Lord of your life and become a new wineskin and be filled with the goodness of heaven, this is your day. I want to pray with you right now. I want to ask everybody that's in the room with me, all of you that are already saved out there, if you'll pray with us just as a stance of solidarity with those that are praying. I want to ask you to mean it in your heart. It's not a prayer. It's not a hocus pocus incantation that saves you. It's Jesus that saves you. Let's pray. Just repeat after me and mean it in your heart to the Lord. Here we go. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. That he is alive again. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. He is my boss. I give him control of my life. And I know that he paid the price for every sin in my life. Make me clean. Make me fresh. Make me whole again. And fill me with heaven's best. I know that I am now saved. I am a child of God. My destination is heaven. The angels are my helpers. And the Holy Spirit is my guide. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Amen. You know, hey, if you prayed that prayer with us today, and you said it for the first time and you meant it in your heart, God knows the condition of your heart. If you said that prayer for the first time and you meant it in your heart to the Lord, you are now saved. You're born again. You have a brand new spirit, a brand new quality. You're not old anymore. You're brand new. And God wants to fill you with heaven's best. If you are living away from Jesus and you've come back home, we are so glad that you chose to come back home today. We accept you. You are part of the family of God. No matter where you are in the world, you are part of God's family. And I'm proud to call you my brother or my sister. And I'm so glad that you made that choice. We want to ask you if you would do something for us. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you came back home and recommitted your life to Jesus, would you just drop that into the comments? Just say, I gave my life to Jesus today, or I came back home and recommitted my life to Jesus today. We want to send you a great gift as well as a Bible. We want to show you how you can take your next step with Jesus. And we invite you to come back again to be with us next week, Sunday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time. Come and pray with us on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time. Take communion with us. It's an amazing time in the presence of God. Until then, we speak the blessing of God over you. We love you. We're so glad that you joined us today, and we hope that your life was impacted for the better by the presence of God and by the Word of God. We love you, and we bless you in Jesus' name.